Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 43 of season 11 of Movie Minute, the daily podcast, where we currently our way through the 2001 HBO miniseries Band of Brothers, 5 minutes at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today to start off another part of this 10-part miniseries is Jay Cooley of the Deep Blue Sea Pod. Welcome back, Jay.
Hi, Rob. I'm recording with my left hand today. See if you notice the difference.
We'll try. We'll see if you can do as well the recording and playing darts with your weaker hand.
I'm better at one than the other, I can tell you that much. I'm not sure of nature's dart players.
Okay, well, apparently the men of easy were pretty bored. that's what it comes down to in my
sure. opinion. Yeah.
But yeah, okay. So, episode 43 begins with the title card for part 4 and ends with Gordon trying to give some sort of announcement. So we basically, once again, are beginning a new part. And right now we get the title shot that says part 4, replacements. And then it tells us that it is now September 13th, 1944. So this is basically a 3-month jump from the beginning of part 3. I mean, part 3 does take place over the course of a few weeks, but now they're back in England. We're at Aldbourne, England, and now we know that after having seen the end of part 3. We know that there are unfortunately a lot less men that are still active in Easy Company at this point because of all the casualties, both those that unfortunately were killed and those who were wounded, because obviously the wounded guys also won't be around anymore. To some will, depending on how wounded they were, but there are those that are convalescing and those that are that were sent back to America at the time. Ended on June 29th. So the whole idea of Carrington was about 3 weeks, I guess. That whole part. So again, we're now talking 2.5 months later, and they had lost 65 men by the time that they were pulled off the line. And this is the perfect moment to give us an introduction to these new men who will be what are now known as replacements, which obviously makes sense.
It does. And one of them is a child called James McAvoy.
Yes, he is one of them.
Such a baby.
Conveniently named James Miller.
Yes, avoids confusion.
Yes. Yeah, you just call him James. There you go.
Just call him James. Yeah, he is 22 in this, but he looks like he's 12. And it's... unpleasant. I don't like it.
There's nothing you can do about that. They needed to find some actor who was conveniently not busy at the time. And why don't give him a part in Band of Brothers? This guy, and nobody's ever going to need James McAvoy for anything. So why not? We'll use him here.
Sure. I mean, if you need someone to look like a fresh faced newcomer in 2001, then McAvoy is your go to. It just looks like, he's fresh out of the maternity ward in this. Just been born.
So the shot begins with, we hear a whole bunch of soldiers, chattering, making noises. Then we hear George Luz say, "All right, Lieutenant, nice and easy. We've still got a shot." We see Buck shooting a dart and it not going where it should be. Bull goes over and pulls the darts out of the dartboard. Now, I found it really interesting. If you look on the sides of the dartboard, you see you see that they have marked all the scores, and we can also see who the teams are. Did you happen to notice that?
Hey, Efron and Toy, Compton and Luz. Yeah,
that's right. And it's also very interesting the way. I mean, we can go through the scores, but I don't think it really makes any difference. It's just the numbers that are there. But on part of the scores, there's a T. I don't know what that means. Maybe it's a technicality. Maybe he hit something that he wasn't supposed to hit. But also, did you see how they mark 5?
They've done this.
Usually, when you mark something, at least as far as I know, when you're keeping track of something and you're putting a mark for I don't know, each day or for whatever it is, so you do one mark, two mark, three marks, four marks, and then you put a mark horizontal over the four vertical lines in order to show that it's five. But what they do here is you have three and then two lines across it to tie them together, which I found to be very...
I've never seen that before.
Neither have I.
But then you've got the bottom left of the scoreboard, you've got Cobb, where they've done the four vertical and then the one horizontal.
Correct.
So there's two different ways of doing it on the same board.
Yeah.
Inconsistent.
Yeah, completely.
I'm guessing it's the upper, I think the Cobb bit at the bottom, because he's playing now. No, wait, who's playing now? It's
Compton who's playing.
Yeah, okay, yes, sorry. He's Buck. Yeah, right. I'm with you. But they're not playing darts now. They're not playing an actual game of darts, are they? No, they are. It's later than that. Yeah.
He just threw it up.
But later in this segment, they're not playing darts. They're just hooking at the ball.
Sure.
Later, which isn't darts. That's just its own game. Now they're playing. Yeah, you start at 301 and go down. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Now, do you know the official term for marking things this way?
A tally?
Yes, very good. It's a tally mark. Very good. Now, when I looked up tally mark, I only found the variant. Very good, tally ho, or hi ho silver. but I only
isn't it hi yo silver?
It's not 100% clear if it's hi yo or hi ho, because we're not sure if it's the dwarfs that are doing it or not.
Or Jeff Beck, I guess. Yeah.
Exactly. I think it is hi yo. I would tend to believe that that's the way they would do it. I mean, I've seen different according to the research that I did. So it's there are different ways to mark five. Sometimes you might just do tally marks the way that they are. You have eight, so you have eight bars. You know, you're not separating them at all. Then sometimes you'll have five bars. Eight. And no, if you were to, I'm using that as an example. If you want to,
okay, I see. Okay.
If you want to use the number eight, right? So you can have eight bars. Then you can have five bars and then a little bit of a gap and then three bars. You can have diagonal bar followed by four bars to differentiate five. And then when you start the next one, you also can try the variant of having diagonal bar and then start with vertical bars. Then you can have what we know is, you know, the four bars with a bar going across it horizontally. That's actually known as a herringbone. And then the fifth variant that you can have is what we see here, or actually not what we see here, what we were talking about, where you have four vertical bars and one diagonal bar. And that's known as a five-bar gate. But I don't see anywhere in this article anything about the possibility of doing what they did here. So I don't really know why they would change it in that way. It just looks very funny. You know, I first thought it was a mistake that, under Compton, you have three vertical bars and one diagonal bar. And I was like, you don't write four that way, but apparently that's a variant of the way that some people are using it, which is a very strange variant, but oh well, what can I tell you?
I like to think it's just one person on the set of this episode. Like, what do you want? Do you want a tally of five, tally of four? Okay. And this is just, that's how they've always done a tally. And no one noticed or no one picked up on it until too late.
Well,
so that's how one person does it at the one village in America somewhere. That's how they do a tally.
Right. I think they just wanted to mess with us 25 years later, you know, and say, is anyone ever going to notice? Yeah. Yeah. And using the bars, they're called tally sticks.
Yes, tally sticks. Sure. Yeah. I love how old the dartboard is as well. That's a beaten up dartboard.
Well, come on. This is September. You have American soldiers that have been living there for probably close to a year, 9 months, a year.
Yeah, I think it's great. It's great how old it looks and how old it is.
And you can see that the board also isn't completely erased. You do see things from previous games, which sometimes makes part of it difficult to tell the numbers, you know, that they're using in the game. But it's a nice way to do that. Tough break. You're having a tough night. He goes, people have tough nights. And he turns to Les and goes, I'm sorry, George. And he goes, it's all right. And Bull comes back with the darts and goes, nice shot, sir. And he goes, thank you, Bull. He goes, thank you, Lieutenant. You know, we're getting ready for Heffron to take his shot. And he goes, finish me up. Here we go.
The round that Compton has just thrown is, if you look at the rest of his scores, it's comically bad. He's got 13 from three darts because two of them missed. Looking at his other scores, he's been scoring in like the 40s, 30s and 40s for most of his rounds. So then to get a 13, they should be suspicious. I think Heffron and Toy
Where's
should
there a
be
13? It's
suspicious.
131.
No, he's what he's just thrown is
Ah, what he's
13.
just thrown is no. He threw a 4 and a 14.
No, I'm looking at the dartboard now. He's got a dart in the 13, and the other two aren't points. He's on the outer rim. There's no points for the outer rim.
Ah, okay.
That black area, you
Okay,
don't get any
it's only the
points there.
13. You're right. It's 13.
Yeah, the black area is nothing. It's bad. You don't want to do that.
Well, again, we as we will find out shortly, he's basically just hustling him.
Yeah, exactly. But the other two, I think, should be suspicious of how bad that throw was, that round was.
All right, I understand. And then we get Heffron getting ready to throw his darts, and he throws it, and everyone is happy with what he gets. I mean, it's a little far, so you can't really tell where it is. But he says double
I
seven.
think it does. Okay, it looks like a triple. It looks like a triple,
Well, he says double seven.
to me.
That's what he says.
Okay.
And he just goes, there you are.
It's. I mean, sure. It looks like he's in the inner colored band, which would be a triple.
Okay,
But
could be.
whatever, it's fine.
It's the same person who just
I
says
think.
the bars very the tally marks differently. I don't
Sure, there we are.
And then Garnier gives Babe the a beer and goes, "You're embarrassing the lieutenant here. Have a drink." He goes, "Don't mind if I do, Sarge." And he goes, better start winning money soon. I think your buddies are starting to miss you. And they look over and they see three guys just sitting at the table. And he goes, yeah, they do look kind of sad, don't they? Bull shows up and goes, they're just serious fighting men, that's all. Garnier goes, well, I think I'm going to go introduce myself. Well, just careful what you say now. Don't take much to set my guys off. And then Martin throws in, yeah. And you got some wild-eyed killers and right there, Bull. And then Buck
I know
goes,
they're just kind of joshing, but I don't like how mean they're being to these guys who've shown up to fight and to help out.
Again,
It's mean.
you have to think about the fact of what these men have gone through the last 3 months. And I mean, we'll get a little bit
Appreciate
later
that, yeah.
with Cobb and stuff like that. But you know, Bull wants these men under his command to feel comfortable here. But you know, they still want to you know, josh him around a little bit. And from what I understand of Garnier, the real Garnier, that's what he would do.
Yes, this is why I don't like him. As I've made clear in previous episodes, he is the villain of the group.
He's not the villain. He's not the villain. Just wait until you hear some of the stories, you know, that from Garnier. Maybe you'll grow to like him a little more. I don't know. I hope so.
Hope so.
I hope so. I'm talking about the stories from the interviews of people who have, you know, who talk
Yes,
about Garnier. Not in the movie,
I
because
look forward to listening to them.
not in the mini series, because that you have seen. I understand
Yes, and he comes off poorly, in my
well, apparently they
opinion.
toned him down for the movie.
Oh God. Okay.
Exactly. And then Buck says, it's a good thing we weren't gambling. He goes, oh boy, we would have gotten killed.
Wow.
Want to bet? What? You want to bet? No. No, I'm not much of a gambling man. Come on. Pack of smokes. First one to hit the bullseye. Yeah, one shot. One shot. One shot? Yeah. Make it two. Two packs. Two packs. Two. All right, two packs. Here we go. One shot.
So,
Very good.
does Neil McDonough's character, does Buck, not remember when Dick Winters was like, "Don't never gamble with the men. What if
That's
you'd
right.
won? What if you'd had to take money or cigarettes off of the people in your charge?" And now he's doing it again. And he's not even just gambling with them; he's playing them. He's been a dart shark. He's conning them. This is a bad move. This is a bad look for Buck,
I agree.
in my
I agree.
opinion.
But what can you do? I mean, this is the way that that Buck is portrayed here, for better or for worse. I guess he's looking around and saying, okay, well, Winters isn't here, so.
Winters isn't here. Yeah, where it's autumn right now.
Yeah. One of the things that's very interesting that they don't show us here is, how is Babe, how does he get in with these other guys so easily? I mean, we know that there is the Philadelphia connection between him and Garnier. That's as close as you can get. We saw him at the end of part three when he was also there with Garcia and Hashi. That's when he and Garnier bonded over the Philly aspect. But I don't know. Something's a little strange here.
I mean, it could have been as simple as he picked up the darts and was just playing darts by himself, and one of the senior guys came up and said, "I'll play darts, and just play darts." They just wanted to play darts. It could have been as simple as that.
Yeah, but these other three guys are more or less scared to approach, any of these older Sokoa guys.
That's what I'm saying. What's the name of the guy playing darts? The young guy playing darts? You just said his name, Babe.
Heffron. Heffron. Babe
What?
Heffron.
Yeah, maybe Heffron didn't approach Garnier and Buck. Maybe they approached him because he was playing darts and they wanted to play. And they thought, "Hey, I know what we can do. We can hustle this guy." So I don't think it is a case of Heffron approaching them, but like, "Hey, can I be your friend?" I think they saw him as a cigarette making opportunity.
Could be. Makes sense. And then the shot changes, and we see Garnier making himself at home at the table with these three young guys. And he goes, "Hey, fellas." He goes, "What do you hear? What do you say?" And then one of them says, "Actually, that's Babe Seat, Private Heffron. Is that right?" He goes, "I don't care if it's Eisenhower's."
Yeah,
He looks at
the
them.
balls on those guys to say, "No, senior person, you can't sit there. That's our friend's
That's
seat.
right.
He's up there playing." No,
He's playing darts
I
and
yes,
getting his butt
yeah.
kicked.
You may have met him. He was just playing darts up there. That's yeah. Just the guards on him was there. That's his seat. Yeah, good on them, I guess, for trying. But that was never going to work with Garnier.
Right. And then he looks at over at this young soldier named James. And he goes, "Who are you?" And he goes, "Private Miller, James Miller."
Hi, Mr. Tumnus.
He says, "I'm in Sergeant Randleman's squad." And then one of the other guys goes, "Yeah, us too. I'm Les Hashy." And then the third guy goes, "Tony." And then Garnier just finishes the sentence for him. He goes, "Garcia, I know who you are. Old gonorrhea doesn't miss nothing."
He doesn't explain himself there.
Why he calls himself old?
Gonorrhea, don't miss nothing. And doesn't explain why he's saying gonorrhea.
Well, we had it before. In part two, we did explain why he was called that.
I know we get that, but he doesn't, like, these three don't know who he is, presumably. And so they don't know why he's like, "What do you mean gonorrhea doesn't mean
But maybe
that?"
they've heard the name before.
I don't think they have. I think these guys just sat down and started talking about STDs in their mind.
Maybe
And
it's very possible. And then the shot changes, and we're back with Buck getting ready to take his final shot with the dart. And then Les says to him, "Lieutenant, are you gonna shoot lefty all night?" He goes, "Hey, come on." He goes, "Just curious, because he's right-handed." He goes, "George, what would I do without George Les?" And then he changes and starts using his right hand and throws a dart, and he goes, "Boop." And everyone goes, "Oh, it was goodness gracious. It was two packs, gentlemen. I know you got them. Pay up." So, again,
mean. It's
very.
mean. I don't like it.
Very. But See, my problem is, you know, Joe Toy is actually playing on the team with Heffern. So Joe
Yes.
Toy should already know that of what we're talking about here.
He should. I agree. I was looking and thinking, I'm pretty sure that guy's been in other episodes of this. He's not a newcomer, but maybe I'm wrong.
Joe Toy is not a newcomer.
Yeah.
He was almost blown up twice in the second part of the miniseries, and he also used his brass knuckles.
Maybe he got hit in the head and forgot. I don't know. He forgot Buck's right-handed.
Apparently, they're sitting down once again with Garnier, and Garnier goes, "So, Heffern tell you about Doris yet?" And they go, "No." He goes, "No? Well, I'm going to educate you. We're getting ready to get on a plane for the first frog town we never jumped into. All of a sudden, Heffern stopped dead in his tracks. Bing and a bang and a boom. Everyone's banging into each other. Heffern's like staring at the nose of the plane because on it's painted this beautiful pinup and written underneath, "Darlin' Doris. Doris," which just happens to be the name of the skirt who just that day sent Babe one of them letters. You know, what do you call them letters that the broads send? Dear John letters? That's it. A Dear Babe letter. Huh. Well, anyway, lucky for Babe, Patton overruns our drop zone. Mission canceled. In other words, Babe don't have to risk getting inside old Doris again. Huh. And he starts laughing. And then he turns to where Bull is and goes, "Hey, Bull, your squad listens up real good." Yeah, they're being polite, like whenever Bull opens his mouth. So Martin really knows how to throw that one out there. And he goes, "Johnny, what are you saying? Bull's boys are just humoring him." Yeah, like whenever he gets out some of that folksy wisdom from back on the farm. Garnier then says, "Probably thinks he's a f***ing hayseed, ain't that right?" And they all start laughing it up. And then Martin looks at them and does something very similar to what he did in the first part, with Precante. And he looks at them and goes, in a very serious tone, he goes, "What are you laughing at?" And then they all are taken a little aback by the fact that he's sort of jumping down their throats with this one. Garnier says to them, "You new boys, you pay attention to Sergeant Randleman. Got that? That's the smartest man in the company." So, according to this story, it makes it sound as if Heffern isn't a new guy. It
Yeah, I
seems
was
that.
just thinking. I didn't realize when I was watching the episode. I didn't realize that Garnier was talking about Babe. Then it's only listening to you talk about it that. So that's why he's in with the dart players. I think he is a newcomer. But he's a newcomer who has flown a mission or two. It seems. So maybe he's not like McAvoy and the two guys sat down with him. Are probably like they arrived this morning. Babe arrived last Thursday, perhaps.
It's unclear. It's very unclear as to when Heffern joined the group, because he was one of the replacements. As for, I mean, again, he wasn't in the first two parts of this miniseries. So they at least make it seem. I mean, the book doesn't really mention when Heffern joined the group. So it's a little unclear with this whole thing. If I remember, I'll have to ask George Luz Jr. That question. And get back to us and give us information as to when Babe actually joined the Men of Easy. That would actually be pretty interesting. And then Cobb, who's in the back, comes forward and he looks over at Miller and says, "Where'd you get that?" And he points to a pin that he has on his uniform, and he goes, "The Presidential Distinguished Unit Citation for what the regiment did in Normandy." And Cobb says, "That's right. For what the regiment did. You weren't there." And then one of the guys looks at him and goes, Hey, easy up, Cobb, man. It's a unit citation." So it's pretty interesting. I mean, actually, I'm going to keep going a little bit because then, Bull pulls Cobb to the side after we see that Miller is surely taken aback, and he takes off the citation and puts it on the table before he gets up and walks away. And then Bull picks up that citation and goes, "Shit, Cobb, you didn't fight Normandy either." And he goes, "I got hit in the plane before I got a chance to jump," trying to justify it. And he says it to Garcia. I mean, this is one of the first times we're actually seeing Cobb. I mean, we saw him when he got shot, in the plane. They mentioned for a second, the fact that he got shot. But I gotta say this, in my opinion, this is meaner than what Buck did to Heffern by
I
trying
agree.
to,
Yeah.
because I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I've got it written down. Cobb, a bit of a d in my list.
Yes, I would agree with that, definitely. There's really no explanation as to why Cobb is acting this way.
Maybe he's had a
Apparently,
few too many drinks. He's had
maybe. I
a
mean,
too many, yeah.
we know that Cobb was really upset that he wasn't able to make the jump because he had gotten injured, along the way.
Yeah.
But and I don't think it says where he was hit. It just says that he screamed, "I'm hit," and Walsh then said, "Can you stand up?" And he goes, "No." But he said, "Unhook him." But Cobb was not happy. They didn't make the. See, I talked about this before. I don't know if I would want to stay in the plane and go back to England, or just jump out and take my chances at that point if I was one of those.
I guess it
I don't
depends
know.
on how injured you are. If you go back to England, there's gonna be medical assistance there, whereas if you parachute out, there's unlikely to be upon landing. So if it's yeah, I can see why you would, but I'm guessing his anger, his ire at Miller having the pin on, it's gonna stem from guilt, maybe. Maybe he's guilty. He's got it himself, but he feels like he doesn't deserve it. So why should this guy, who definitely doesn't deserve it in his mind, why should he have it? That's my untrained psychological opinion on why he's lashing out. But also, he's probably had a couple too many pints, and this is
Okay.
how it's surfacing.
Yeah. So Cobb was injured in his leg.
Okay.
That's
Yeah, that could impede progress upon landing in war, I think.
And the segment ends with we hear Gordon scream, "Hey, y'all!" And he's about to give some sort of announcement. And that's the way that this segment ends. Is there anything else you wanted to add?
I like this episode. I like that it's a Cudlitz and McDonough heavy episode. I like both of those actors. My wife described Neil McDonough as being all teeth in this chapter, which I think is a good
All
description
teeth.
of him. All teeth. He's very, very like tooth heavy acting he does in this episode. And I think I mentioned Neil McDonough where I always associate him. In a previous episode, Rich is ravenous. When you first see Neil McDonough in Ravenous, he's stripped to the waist in some rapid screaming. And that's how I always picture Neil McDonough when I see him in anything. It's just him in Ravenous. So I enjoy it whenever he's on screen. And Cudlitz, I love from The Walking Dead. He's great in that. I had to keep explaining to my wife that he's not Sean Astin. It just looks like Sean Astin. It's not Sean Astin. Different person.
You think that Neil McDonough looks like Sean Astin?
No. Michael Cudlitz.
Ah, Michael
My thought it was Sean
Cudlitz.
Astin. There are similarities. There's this.
I can see from the face, not the
Yeah, they have
hair.
big faces. Yeah, the hair's completely different. We're just talking about the face. When he's got a helmet on, this is the helmet on scenes. Like Sean Astin.
Okay.
Anyway.
Just tell her to watch Memphis Belle if she wants to see Sean Astin, in World War II. And then there he looks more like McAvoy as the little 18-year-old.
Sure.
All right, let's play your daily game, or your guest game of World War II trivia,
All right.
if you're feeling up to
We'll see.
it
No,
again. We definitely will. Oh, come on, it's only 5 questions, Jay.
I'm up for it. Let's go.
Maybe you'll get another K Mutiny question. You never know.
Maybe. Good.
All right, let's spin the wheel and see what we get. Okay, in the 2008 movie Valkyrie, what is the name of Tom Cruise's character?
Oh God, I haven't seen this film. Oh, I'm gonna recognize it when you say it. Oh, So it's not something I have seen. So I don't know. I don't
All
know.
right. Okay.
It's not in
He
there. It's
plays
not in there.
Colonel Klaus von Stauffenberg.
Nope. I was not going to
Okay. Fair enough.
get that.
Let's spin the wheel and see what comes up. Okay, who played the lead character in the 1942 movie To Be or Not to Be?
Not seen that either. So,
But
Humphrey
you've heard me talk
Bogart.
about it so much.
Sure. Humphrey Bogart.
It's not Mel Brooks either.
I don't know.
Jack Benny.
Any?
Jack Benny. No, it's Jack
I'm
Benny.
never gonna get that. Sure. Okay. I don't even know who that is. So,
You don't
it's
know
not a name
Jack
that
Benny?
I'm aware of.
Wow. Okay.
I do not.
Okay. He was a comedian
I'm gonna
and
guess before my time.
yes.
Jack Benny. I've Googled him and it says he's a violinist.
Okay. All
I've never
right.
seen this guy before.
Which 1998 film begins with a brutal 25-minute recreation of the D-Day landing at Omaha Beach?
Ooh, 1998. Godzilla? No, Saving Private Ryan.
Nice try, nice try, nice try.
Shakespeare in Love.
There was a bloodbath there, yeah. At the Oscars, at the Oscars.
And it actually begins with a guy going to a gravestone. Thank you very much. And then you get
Very
the
true.
grueling scene.
Very true. So my favorite piece of trivia from Shakespeare in Love is that because of the fight between the Weinsteins and Ed Zwick for producer credits, they put Ed Zwick's credit above the point where you see a big pile of shit on the ground.
Sure, that sounds like them.
Sounds like Weinstein. Exactly. All right. So what is your
Hello.
question? Your question is, in the 1997 film Life is Beautiful, what do the Italian father and son believe they are doing in the concentration camp?
Oh, I've seen this once, and it was a long time ago. What do they believe they're doing?
But what is the father tell the son that they are doing?
Oh,
I
he
think
says they're
that's
on like
the
a
question.
vacation. Like
No.
they're on like a. No.
No. What are we doing right now?
Podcasting.
Okay, besides that, what are we specifically
They
doing right
weren't
now?
podcasting
No, they
then.
were not podcasting, no. But they were specifically doing something that we're doing right now.
playing a game.
Yes, playing a game. There you
There we go.
right, so let's
Okay.
now spin the wheel for your final one. The 1970 film Tora, Tora, Tora is all about what battle?
Oh, this came up on an episode of Taking Apollo 123, where it was a question, and when the answer was Tora, 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 I was like, oh, I didn't realize that was how, that's what that film was about. And now the question has been reversed, and I can't remember what the question was last time. Great. Oh, no, it wasn't the Battle of Britain. God, I don't know. Right. I have no idea. I cannot. It's not in there at all. Pearl Harbor.
Yes, that's the
Oh,
answer,
okay. Great.
yes. Yes, that is the answer. It
Stupid
is
brain.
the Battle of Pearl Harbor. All right.
Oh dear.
Now we will go
Ridiculous.
through the final question today, which will be for name that World War II movie. So let's spin the wheel and see if it is once again something that you have been given a hint from, like last time you were here. Okay, this is a movie from 1965 that deals with Battle of Pearl Harbor.
It's
So,
not Tora,
what
Tora, Tora. That was
is
1970.
not Tora Tora Tora? It was directed by Otto Preminger.
I don't know many Pearl Harbor films. Other than Tora Tora, I know of one other one, and it's not this one, because I don't think Ben Affleck was alive to act in 1965.
He might have been alive.
But not, I don't think he was acting much. I think, no. I don't think I know what this is. I'm gonna,
Okay, it stars John Wayne, Kirk Douglas, and Patricia Neal. Does that help at all?
I know of some of those people. I don't know what this film is. Hell in the Pacific
No,
is
it's called In
a
Harm's Way.
no. Never heard of it. It doesn't exist.
Okay.
Stop asking
Fair
me
enough.
about films that don't exist, Rob. You're helping no one. Perfect.
I will keep asking you about questions about movies that don't exist because I want them to exist at some point in your repertoire or in other guests or even listeners' repertoires. So why not?
Is In Harm's Way good? Is it worth a watch?
Yes, it's very good.
Okay.
It's very good. I enjoyed it a lot. It's not Saving Private Ryan, and it's also
God,
not
what
Band of
is?
Brothers, but it's still pretty good.
Not going to start doing In Harm's Way minute for
No.
season 65 of
No,
this
no, no, no,
podcast.
no. It's not close. It's not close to being on my list. You can if you're gonna watch it, you have to watch it on your own because it's not gonna be from me.
Well then, I'm never gonna watch it.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. All right, Jay, would you like to tell everyone where they can find Jay Cluett?
Absolutely. Deep Blue Sea, the podcast is Deep Blue Sea and films like Deep Blue Sea. At Deep Blue Sea Pod is our social media handle across various social media accounts. And my personal site is lifeversusfilm.com. This is coming out in February. Who knows what I'll be doing over there? Maybe I'll be reviewing things. Maybe I won't. It's a lottery. Come see lifeversusfilm.com.
All right, excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, you can find me on Instagram, you can find me on my website, moviearoundminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to moviearoundminute@movierob.net. Richard will be back tomorrow to finish off his 3-episode stint. But until then, courage!
Hurry!